If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please, over to 1 Corinthians 11 and follow along as I read beginning at verse 17. 1 Corinthians 11 and 17. We're dropping into a portion where Paul is giving instructions on a variety of issues, but you'll see very quickly what this is coming to. Verse 17 says, "But in giving this instruction, I do not praise you, because you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For in the first place, when you come together as a church, I hear that divisions exist among you, and in part I believe it. For there must also be factions among you, so that those who are approved may become evident among you. Therefore, when you meet together, it's not to eat the Lord's Supper, for in your eating, each one takes his own supper first, and one is hungry, and another's drunk. What? Do you not have houses in which to eat and drink? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you? In this I will not praise you. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he'd given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But a man must examine himself, and in so doing he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself if he does not judge the body rightly. For this reason many among you are weak and sick, and a number sleep. But if you judged yourselves rightly, we would not be judged. But when we judge, we're disciplined by the Lord, so that we will not be condemned along with the world. Let's pray together. Father, quiet our hearts here in this place. And through the ministry of your word and your indwelling Holy Spirit, teach us. We've come to hear from you today. Forgive us if from time to time we just move quickly through our time here around the table. Help us to just pause and take time to think about what all of this is about. Challenge us, encourage us, please, as only you can. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, a little bit of background might help. Paul's words seem awfully strong. But in the early church, some 30, maybe 35 years after Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, the church had begun a practice of getting together regularly and sharing a meal. Now, we don't know how often, maybe weekly, maybe as a part of their worship. But in the midst of all of that, it became known as a love feast, because it was an opportunity for the church to love, to love one another. They would have dinner, they'd share a meal, potluck sort of thing, and then have communion, sort of paralleling that last night that Jesus spent with his disciples, taking the Passover meal and then choosing two of the elements, the bread, the cup, and giving it special significance and telling them, "Now, this is something I want you to do regularly." Appreciate when the church got together in the first century, when they'd come together and share a meal, there would be folks there in the church of great means. There would be folks there with almost nothing. There would be folks there who ate well every day. There would be folks there that this might be the only really good meal they had all week. And they'd get together and they'd chat together, they'd fellowship together, they'd listen to one another and pray for one another, looking for ways in which to meet one another's needs. It was a perfect way to encourage a mixed group of people. But there was a problem in the church at Corinth. Part of it was division. Part of it was just pure selfishness. Right out of the gate, when Paul wrote this book, he said, I know right away one of the problems is you all have gotten into little cliques. There are some of you that think you're better than the others. Some of it's based upon your pedigree. You're Jewish Christians. You're sons of Abraham who've recognized Jesus as the Christ, the Messiah. Wonderful! And that makes you better than everybody else, you think, especially those Gentile Johnny-come-latelys who seem to believe that God's grace was for everyone, no matter who they were or what they'd done. He would forgive everything. Imagine that. And it was dividing the church. And that division illustrated itself so dramatically in that love feast. Two things were happening. They'd come, and of course, friends would all sit together. And they kept their meals together. You know how us Baptists do it. We put it all together. And every once in a while, somebody will say, well, now who brought this? You know, because it's really wonderful and somebody's hoping for a recipe. Or maybe getting to take home the leftovers. Whatever. But we share. Now, sometimes do we have folks who come who don't have much to share? Yep. Are there other times when some folks bring more than enough? Yes. Why? Because we want to all leave having spent as much time as possible around that table sharing. But the divisions in Corinth led to selfishness. I brought that. I'm going to eat that. You can't have that. And it was so pronounced. Can you imagine this? In the midst of this love feast, when they were supposed to be loving on one another and sharing with one another, the group that had so much, they had so much, they were even drinking too much. What a mess they were making of this love feast. It was totally, totally ruining the picture that Jesus had called the church to. The consequences? Well, verse 27 says guilt. Whoever eats and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner is guilty of the body and the blood. This is not something you just take and do without thinking. Judgment. They had done this so long that God had been working with them. There were some people who were weak. He says there are some people who are sick. And he says there are some people who sleep. And that doesn't mean the pastor went too long and you nodded off. It's a euphemism. It's another word for death. God was judging them, trying to get their attention. You're not feeling good today. You know, sometimes it's just because you don't feel good. But when you don't feel good, or you're sick, one of the questions you need to ask is, God, are you trying to get my attention? Have I been ignoring you? Now, maybe the answer is no. But it's always a good question to ask. Have I been ignoring your word? Have I been ignoring our time in prayer? Have I been ignoring my brothers and sisters and their needs? Well, you got my attention now. And I don't want things moving to the next step because I wasn't listening. That's how important this is. That's how serious this is. Ignore your relationship to one another. Ruin one of the pictures that God has given to us of our relationship with one another. And don't be surprised if God steps in. First to get your attention so that he can move you in the right direction. But if you persist, Paul's telling them, he will take you out so that you have no more influence over the others. That's how serious this is. That brings us to this table. What's the solution to all of this? How can we make sure this doesn't happen? I've been a part of this body for a while, and I don't think we're guilty of these things, but I know that we can be. And so for us, we regularly need to raise this flag and say, beware. The first step in the solution is examination. Verse 28 says, But a man must examine himself, and in so doing he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Examine yourself. Verse 31 says, But if we judged ourselves rightly, we would not be judged. Examine yourself. David put it this way in Psalm 139. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts, and lead me in the everlasting way. There's a chorus that goes with this. Would you sing it with me? Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Savior, know my thoughts, I pray. See if there be some wicked way in me. Cleanse me from every sin and set me free. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we pause now at this table, I have bread, I have the cup. All through our group here this morning, we have bread, we have the cup. But before we take them, before we can truly experience the value of each, the significance of each, we must invite your Holy Spirit to examine us. Apply the litmus test of your word to our lives. Is there something we've been ignoring? Something we've been excusing in our lives? As James challenged us, is there something that we know we should do it, but we haven't? Is it sin? May we be open and honest before you, Father, because the solution is to confess it, repent, turn from it, ask for forgiveness. And then again, we are rightly related with you. We stand before you only because of your grace through faith. But Father, that relationship can be strained because of unconfessed sin. Maybe we need to go to someone and ask forgiveness. Maybe we need to recognize that we've wronged someone, offended someone. We need to covenant that as quickly as we can, we will do that. Otherwise, we take away from the significance of these elements, of this service, this illustration that we've been called to. As we continue, Father, may you be pleased to be with us, pleased with this act of obedience, as Jesus told us to do these things in remembrance of him. We ask, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. On the night in which he was betrayed, in the midst of that Passover meal, Jesus took the bread, a staple of life, and said, I want to give this new significance. This bread represents my body, which in a few short hours, you will see me offer up for you. This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Then Jesus took the cup. He said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. God had given to the world through Israel a covenant that was based upon grace as well, but it involved the sacrifice of animals that had to be repeated over and over and over again because it wasn't done. That was the old covenant. That was the old arrangement. This blood represent, or this cup represents Jesus' blood offered once for the sins of the whole world. Never to be repeated. All that was necessary. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it. In remembrance of me. the motivation for all of this, verse 26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. We celebrate Easter, don't we? We love Easter morning. Jesus lives. But the work was done on Friday afternoon. Jesus died, not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. May we never lose the joy the amazement that Jesus died for me. And every time we grab the bread and the cup, we let the world know Jesus died for you. Stand together, please, with me and sing our hymn of fellowship.
Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love, the fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above.
Last week when we gathered out at Burnworth, had a wonderful time of worship, of fellowship, a meal. Then we had baptism. And we have baptismal certificates for those that followed in obedience last Sunday. Addison, I have yours. And Oliver, I have one for you. And Brad, I have one for you. Thank you so much for your step of obedience. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the privilege of worship today. May we take what we've seen and what we've heard today, incorporate it into our hearts and into our lives, and reflect it to those around us. May we be useful servants in your kingdom this week. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.